Take your Bibles, open to Isaiah 45. One of the major reference points in my personal life goes back to May of 1979, where the Lord spoke to me out of the book of Isaiah, spoke to me in a way that that has forever changed my life, spoke to me out of Isaiah chapter 60, and impacted me tremendously, where I would have to say I think every day of my life has been different since then because of what he spoke into my life. And there are times where the Lord speaks to you a word, and it just, I don't know what to say, it just remains with you. It becomes a word. In that particular case, it was a word that changed how I saw things. But then there are times where he gives you a word of promise. And that word of promise is to affect every part of your life. See, when God gives you a promise, what he really did is he came from your future to your present, and he gave you a word to get you where you need to go. He came from the future with a word saying, this is how you're going to get to where I've already seen you at. I've seen you with this breakthrough, and this word will get you there. Every word of God that comes to us is 100% backed by heaven. There are qualifications. There are things that we can do to abort a purpose of God, and there are things we do to contribute to a word of the Lord. But the Lord brings us various words in various seasons, and I believe that the Lord has highlighted something for me that I'm going to share with you today out of this chapter of Isaiah 45. My wife and I, our family, moved to Weaverville, California, just an hour west of here, for those of you that are new, the eldership of this church sent us up into the mountains to pastor a church there in Weaverville. And before we left, the Lord had given, through one of the prophets that we welcome into this house, a very high respected man, gave me a specific word, spoke into my life, into our life as a family, and he gave us a portion of scripture out of Isaiah 45. How many of you know that when the word of the Lord comes in scripture, it has an immediate application, and it has a destiny, but it also has a way to impact every person in between the time it's given. It could be 2,000 years later it's fulfilled, but it has a life on it, could impact every person who touches that word in between the time it was given and its fulfillment. Did that make sense? Did I say that right? There's life on that word, and that's the way it was for us. We read that word, and we held to that promise, and held onto it and prayed into it. I had it on a 3x5 card. I still do. I bring it up. I read. I declare. I confess. I pray these scriptures. I sing them a spontaneous song. I'll take these things because the promises of the Lord, and I can't afford to think differently than he does. And so I have to adjust my thoughts, my ambitions, my expectations according to what he has said. And I have found an unusual anointing in recent weeks, and I can track it down to actually recent weeks for me personally, an unusual anointing on the resurrection of old promises. And I've been reviewing, I've talked to some of the staff, I've talked a little bit last Sunday, I mentioned it, going through some of the things that the Lord has spoken into my heart in recent years, and some of them many, many years ago. And I've found a fresh wind on some old promises. And I feel like today I'm supposed to give one of those to you. I feel like I actually have permission to give you a promise of mine that will become a promise of yours. And what I'm just going to try to describe what I'm thinking and feeling before we ever get into this. It'll take me a couple minutes. one of our dear friends, a well-respected prophet of the Lord, for the body of Christ, especially in this nation, came to me some years ago, and he said, Bill, he said, if you go to a church and you think I need to go there, tell me, because I'll go there. And what he was saying was, he was saying, Bill, you have favor in my eyes, and if you choose someone for me to show favor to, I will show them the favor I would show you. Does that make sense? And the Lord actually positions us as believers. Every time we bring a word of encouragement or strength to another person, really all we're doing is we're taking the favor that's on our life and we're giving it to another person. And I wish, you know, I would honestly pray that the Lord would release a revelation to us as people on the power of our words and the ability that we have to take a personal promise and extend that favor to another person. And the Lord, if I come to Chris with an encouraging word, it's not as though he is not already without favor. He's got tremendous favor before the Lord. But does it make sense to you that all of us have a unique place before the Father? And in fact, every person in this room represents a different aspect of God's nature that nobody else in all of time was ever given the assignment to represent. There's a uniqueness to you, to your design, your personality, your gifting, your call, your position in time. All of that is unique to you. And you have the possibility, the hope, the promise, the call to represent a certain part of God's nature in the earth that no one else can represent. And so if I come to Chris with an encouraging word, or Kathy or whoever, and I bring an encouraging word to them, what I'm doing is I'm extending a scepter of favor. It's the one that he has given to me, and now in turn, I show it to someone else. And what in fact happens is the Lord now adds the favor of my life onto the favor he's already put into their lives. It's an amazing thing to be privileged with words to paint a target over another person and invite God to strike it. God, get them with your best shot. Get them with blessing. Overflow their lives. Cause them to overflow, to be made drunk, intoxicated by your favor and your blessing on their life. And that really is what we have the privilege of doing every day of our life. Now, I had an experience here recently. The Lord gave me a word of promise. I don't remember when, but it was a number of years ago. And I was praying for somebody once, and I felt like it's an unusual experience. I hadn't had anything like this happen to me before. When I was praying for them, I felt like if I wanted to, I could give that person the promise that God gave to me. It was a particular passage of Scripture. I realize if we're going to approach it theologically, all the promises are ours, etc. But there are times when the Lord breathes on a promise and it has life in that moment that it won't have in another moment. And it's why he says we seek him while he is near. It's not that he is ever distant from us, but he comes to us in themes. It comes to us in themes, and we do not regulate the themes of God. We do not regulate the subjects that are on his heart. We do not regulate the nature of the seasons he brings us into. It's why in Luke chapter 5 it says, and the Lord was present to heal. The manifested presence of God came. Jesus was ministering. Specifically, he came with the flavor of healing because that's what he wanted to do in that moment. The presence is not ours to manipulate for our well-intentioned goals. Every true man and woman of God only wants to know the heartbeat of God and then cooperate with him. And so as I was praying for this person, I felt like I actually had the liberty to take a promise that was mine that felt very personal to me and actually give it to them as a promise for their life. Now that may seem innocent and simple, but what happened over the last year is that promise became more theirs than it did mine. I don't know if that makes sense to you. It's like I've watched, you know, I didn't mean that they could take it all to themselves. I still wanted some of it left for myself. But it's like they actually believed God. And this thing has been word for word fulfilled in their life. And I've watched it happen and I've gone, this is amazing. That was mine and I was sharing and now they took full possession of it. But honestly, what happens is the Lord will use you. He'll bring a word to you that he actually sometimes intends to be released to somebody else. The Lord will not deal with you personally. Let me back up. The Lord will not bring to you one-on-one everything you need to hear. He refuses to do so. He actually at times will speak to a person next to you or a person on the other side of the room or a person in another city about you, and you will have to have contact with them to hear what God is saying in the moment. Because if he could speak to us everything directly one-on-one, we would have no need for each other, and there's a pretty strong guarantee that a lot of people would just edge everybody else out of their life because it's me and Jesus. We can handle it on our own. How many, you might fall for that one yourself. So the Lord, what he does is he arranges things in such a way that he actually puts the anointing. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are. He'll put the anointing for healing on one here, and the person who is sick is over here, and he just arranges their step to meet when the meeting is over. Because that he released on this person is actually to be delivered to this one. The word of wisdom, the prophetic word, all of the gifts work in that way. He puts a realm of God, the mind of Christ, on a person with a unique flavor, and it's actually perfectly suited for another person. King David is my favorite example of this. He's one of the great heroes in Scripture for a lot of reasons. He was, at least in the Old Testament, he's the most complete person there was in life and ministry, because he was a king, but he functioned as a priest. He had this, the Lord just like allowed him to come in before his presence, even though he wasn't of the tribe of Levi, and it was illegal for him to do so. The Lord invited David to come in and minister to him personally before the glory of his presence. He functioned as a priest, and yet he wasn't of the right tribe. And Acts chapter 2 says, and David, being a prophet, looked ahead and spoke. So we got king, priest, and prophet in one guy. And a guy that was that gifted, that fully connected, if you will, to the heart and mind of the Lord, wanted to know something. He wanted to know, is God giving me permission to build a temple? And God wouldn't tell him. And it wasn't until he sought the counsel of the prophets. Now remember, David is a prophet. He hears from God. He looks ahead. He sees. He declares the word of the Lord. God would not speak to him. It wasn't until he came into the counsel of other prophets that he heard the word of the Lord for what he was supposed to do. The point is that we are members of each other. And our problem is if he told us everything directly, we would probably live independent of the influence of other people. And I think it's fair to say, actually, that if there is no dependency in your life on the word of the Lord coming from other people around you, then you have a withered Christian life, a Christian life that has not reached its potential or its purpose. In fact, let me say this. If you have a vision that with all your heart and might you can fulfill if you give everything, then you have too small of a vision. Because your vision is supposed to include the body of Christ rallying together to help an individual or a group of people accomplish something. We were not designed to do this thing by ourselves. So, I said all that to say this. In 1978, the Lord spoke a word to me out of Isaiah 45. It was very specific. It was for a particular need that we had in our family. We moved to Weaverville. I held the verse. I held it before the Lord. I prayed it constantly. I would sing it. I would, declare it. I would walk around the church sanctuary, walk around town, quoting this passage. And it took about 12 years for that word to be fulfilled. But it was fulfilled specifically in our lives, about 12 years after it was given. In 2001, Benny, this scripture became highlighted to Benny, and she shared it in the church here as a prophetic word. She doesn't remember giving it. And about a month ago, a dear friend of our house, more and more important part of our lives, a prophet of God from Kansas City, Bob Hartley, called Benny on the phone, not knowing the history, not knowing our connection with this verse, not knowing that Benny had in fact giving a prophetic word, called her and said, the Lord gave you a word in 2001. He named the year. And then he said, it's Isaiah 45, and he named the passage. And he said, the Lord gave you this as a prophetic word. Well, Benny is thinking, man, that's awesome because these verses are coming alive. She would read them, they'd come alive, but she couldn't remember ever giving the word. That was, you know, that was, it's not that she thought Bob missed it. She just couldn't remember it. And then one of the students was over at the prayer house and was going through, we have notebooks over there of prophetic words, so because we want to pray according to promise. And one of the students was going through the catalog of prophetic words that have been given in this house and came across a word that Benny, in fact, gave in 2001. And it was this passage that we're about to read that she had completely forgotten. And the student went over there and found it and said, it's true, it's true. You gave this word in 2001. Well, Bob Hartley, not knowing any of the history, called and said that this is a word from the Lord for you guys right now. And then mentioned, you gave this word in 2001. Is anybody else impressed with that stuff? Oh, my goodness. These prophets, they scare me. All of them. They're all around. They're all around us. They make me nervous. You know, we can't make any plans around here as a, in private as a staff. We can't plan to do anything because somebody will have a dream. God just tattles on us all the time. Somebody will have a dream. Somebody will get a word, you know. It's a nice problem. Isaiah 45. Primarily what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a verse of scripture that I believe is to be a prophetic word at minimum over the year 2010. And so I'm going to encourage you in that light, do whatever you need to do. Put it on a card, circle it on your Bible, do something. Because I believe the Lord is giving us a word that is supposed to shape how we think and what we do for these next 12 months. We'll start with verse 1, the promises of verse 2 and 3. Verse 1, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. Historically, in fact, the gates of Babylon were left open one night, and it was the night that Cyrus came to invade. And the Lord actually fulfilled this specific word to Cyrus. It's interesting, this word was given a long time before Cyrus was ever born. The word of the Lord came that there would be a king, and his name was Cyrus. And God called him by name and outlined his assignment. When he was born, the prophet came to him and said, look, God knew you before you were born. And he said, this is what you were born for. And he just kind of got the fear of God on him and did exactly what God said to do. That's a pretty good deal. I remember somebody tried to kill themselves in Hayfork once. They tried to take their lives. They ended up in the county jail over in Weaverville. And it just so happened that the previous week, we would get together and we would pray. And we would pray for nations always. We'd pray for cities. And that's, we did that for 17 years. We'd pray every Friday night. We'd cry out to God for nations and for cities. And that particular week, the focus was on Hayfork. And they prayed that God would raise up somebody that would experience his love and power in such a way that they could help to ignite a move of God in Hayfork. So we got news. They called the office. They said, there's somebody in the jail here in the padded room that just tried to kill themselves. Do you have a pastor that can come over here and talk to him? So I sent one of our guys over there. It happened to be the guy who led the prayer meeting the previous week, who prayed for Hayfork. He walks in the room, and here's a guy from Hayfork. So our guy comes in there with the most amazing news. He says, guess what? He says, we prayed for you last week. You did? Yeah. We prayed that God would save somebody from Hayfork that would impact their entire city. You've got to picture this. Here's a guy who wants to take his life, who now discovers he's been called by God to change a city. Let me try to paint this picture for you. Somebody's trying to take their life, and then they find out that God loves them, calls them by name, has a a destiny of significance in their life, and he suddenly loses all desire to take his life, and he now wants to find out who this Jesus is and what's the purpose and destiny for his life. Verse 2, I will go before you, make crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze. I will cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. I want you to take those two verses. I'm not going to teach on them as much as just direct you to them. Look at it again. I will go before you and make crooked places straight. Is there anyone in the room that's got some twisted circumstances that you need God to straighten out? All right, listen, why don't we just make an agreement together that 2010 is going to become the absolute greatest year of all of our lives? Now, because it talks about subduing, there's an automatic implication. There is a fight. I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is you win. The bad news is there's a fight. I will go before you, make crooked places straight. I will break in pieces gates of bronze. What happens when gates are broken in pieces? What happens when that which was closed to you is permanently made open? It means everybody who looks to you for counsel, for example, for inspiration, for words of encouragement, anyone who feeds from your life drafts behind your victory. Families get entire breakthroughs. It's not just heads of household. It's not just that uniquely gifted one. It's that entire groups of people are ushered into a breakthrough. Why? Because the gate was destroyed. It was broken pieces. See, Elijah got the breakthrough. He walked in extraordinary anointing, but Elisha ended up with greater because somebody went before him into a realm in God, got a breakthrough before Elisha stepped into his call and anointing. He ended up with a double portion because somebody else paid a price for that breakthrough. And I feel like more than anything this morning, I'm just supposed to prophesy these verses over everybody in this room. I honestly felt like the Lord spoke to me. I don't use that phrase very often, although I do believe he talks to me a lot. I seldom use that when I'm talking to you. But I really believe he spoke to me and said I had permission to give this promise to anyone who was in the room. I've never done that before in my life in a corporate setting. But I feel like if you'll give this word attention, I believe the Lord just appeared from your future with the very word necessary to get you where he's purposed for you to go. Verse 3, I will give you the treasures of darkness. How many of you you've got a sense that something wonderful is coming, but you can't see it? It's hidden in dark places. The hidden riches of secret places. Whenever I see this, to be honest, my initial thought is treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, is money. Because it tends to lend itself to that description, treasures and riches. And that's all good. You can always use more of that, but it doesn't necessarily make you richer. You know, I love Candace's word this morning in our prayer time. It's family and it's friends. It's people that walk this thing together that make us rich. For some of you, the treasures in darkness is you have family members that don't walk with the Lord. And he says, I'm going to give you treasures in darkness, because real treasure is people. It's always been people. It's always been people. Thankfully, there's provision for everything you need to do, but the treasure's people. It's what Jesus bought the field for, was the treasure that was in the field. It was people. It's always people. I believe that there's going to be extraordinary breakthrough this year, next year, economically for a lot of people. I really do. I think it's going to be amazing. But I almost feel like it's hard for me to put it in words that seem fitting. It feels like the Lord really wants to refine the passions of people so that he can entrust them with unbelievable resource. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that how many people throughout history have won the lottery and it destroyed their lives. You know, it happens over and over again. It's the fact that we become a people that have treasures in darkness. It's the fact that we have friends and neighbors and relatives that are yet in darkness. I tell you, I feel such a strong need for supernatural wisdom to be released to us as a gift. I feel like it is the main thing I'm to pursue right now. Supernatural wisdom, because supernatural wisdom is prophetic in nature. It sees into the inner workings of something. It's almost like looking at a house that's real beautiful on the outside, but you could look in and see the pipe and the framing and all the inner workings, the foundation. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is able to go in and dismantle structures with understanding. There's a prophetic edge to wisdom that we really need right now, because we are bombarded on every side with ideologies that are at war with the kingdom. It's always been that way, but it is intensifying. And that is the battle. The battle is for your mind. The battle is for your thought life. The battle is for what you give place to right here between the ears. It begins by lessening the expectation of our life, lessening what God intends to do in and through us, lessening the value of the promises. I know what it is to hold on to promises sometimes for decades before seeing them break through. I've had them break through in moments, but I've also contended, as many of you have, for decades for things to break through and not to taste of that promise yet. You know, I can only tell you is that there's life in this book. And when you find that which God has highlighted, he has breathed on a passage of scripture, it is the smartest thing in the world is to let that promise shape your thoughts, to shape how you see, how you think, how you pray, what you do with your life. And this is a word that I feel is supposed to direct our life. I'm not going to tell you to read it every day, but I feel like it would just do us well to just stick this thing in front of us for these next 12 months, because I think there are some things that are going to be released to us. And there's two realms. They become released in two different ways. And this I've spoken on several times, I know, in the last 6 months. But there's still something about this that I'm not wrestling, in a sense, wrestling with God, wrestling with learning, wrestling with my own inner workings. There's two ways of apprehending things in the kingdom. One is through violence. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The violent take it by force. But the contrasting principle for that is that unless you receive the kingdom as a child, you cannot enter into it. That there's the fight. There's the realm of authority that we're to learn, and then there's the realm of the child, the inheritance that we're to learn. Some things are too precious to release to a soldier. They can only be released to sons, to daughters. They're too special to be given as the reward of a fight. They instead are too precious. They must be given to those who just simply know who they are. And they've rested in that place of childhood. And I tell you, there's something about these passages that I feel like the Lord is going to switch the season, sometimes in the same week. Because the principle I use for the last victory is probably not the one I'm going to need in the next battle. Testimonies prophesy outcome, not process or procedure. You know, testimony prophesies outcome. When the Lord speaks to us, you know, a testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we hear a testimony of what God has done, it prophesies outcome. Cancer was healed in this case. It sets a legal precedent. He wants to heal it in this case, period. But the process is often different.
That's right.
This one was through confessing the word of God, you know, every day for 12 months, and a miracle happened. This one may be through the laying on of hands. It may be through the prophetic decree. The point is, he's not trying to build a principled people. He's trying to build a people addicted to his voice, attached to his breath, who live with the ongoing conviction, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I am alive because he talks. I am alive because he breathes. I'm alive because he speaks to me. Something comes alive every time he speaks. And this is just one of those promises. I wish I could somehow put in a, you know, in a teaching form or a video or something, what the promises of God have meant in my life for the last, you know, 38 years. It is food. It is food when nothing makes sense. It is food. It enables me to see what I can when there's nothing to see. I can't put my finger on anything going on in front of me, but it is food. It teaches me what's there. It enables me to see what is right there, even though it's a treasure in darkness and I can't see because it's so dark. Yet because I've got that promise, I know that within reach is the fulfillment of what God has said to my life. And I tell you, I watch people who go through a difficulty and they don't know to get back to the promise. They just seem to want to fight it, you know, out of, I don't know, putting out somebody else. Maybe they'll give me another prophetic word or another. I don't need another prophetic word. What I need is to believe the one he gave me. He gave me enough for a lifetime, and now I'm positioned to actually take these treasures that have changed my life and to find people that need them. I say, oh, this one looks like a legal candidate for this word, and give it as though it's a word of the Lord for the moment. It's like there's this scepter of grace that's been put on your shoulder. You've been given permission by the king to find people who need the word of the Lord and will run faithfully with that word. You have permission to make that decree and to declare it over their life and to announce to them, this is what God is about to do in your life. A people that are possessed by promises. I'll tell you, the number one source of strength and encouragement for me in the last 38 years has been returning to the promises. Returning to the promises. Sometimes it's hours, sometimes it's into the middle of the night, but you return to the promises. You read them, you sing them, you declare them. You do everything you can to make sure that that which God has said has preeminence. In your consciousness, in your mind, in your heart. It's not just a concept that just gets quoted up here. As I quote it here till it burns here. I declare it here until I can feel the life of that thing in me. And I just feel like the Lord is just giving us a tool. And I don't think I've done this before, at least not that I can recall, where I've taken something that may seem just like a real nice set of verses to you. I don't know. But it's a very, very deep promise for me. These two verses have fed my soul for years, years and years. And I feel like I have the invitation to invite you into your destiny. And part of what will get you there is these two verses. I will go before you, he says. It's as though he says, this one's on me. I will go before you. I will make those twisted situations. I will straighten them myself. And I'm going to break in pieces the gates of bronze. I'm going to shatter. There'll be no returning. There'll be no, it doesn't close after your entrance. You just pave the way for many others to follow and to get your breakthrough. I'm going to cut the bars of iron. I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness. And I tell you what, as long as we believe in our heart of hearts that the treasure is people, he will release unlimited resources to accomplish it. But the moment we change our view to resources or treasure, We've chosen where to level off. I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. Why? That you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. One last thought I want to give you on this passage. It's a really interesting situation he did with Cyrus. Before he's ever born, the Lord gave the word through the prophet and said what he was going to do. Cyrus comes on the scene, and the Lord tells Cyrus in the prophetic word, you're going to do this, 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 I'm going to do this for you. And then he says, I want you to know why I told you this. I told you this because I want you to know I've called you by name. I've called you by your name. Now think about it. The Lord fulfills promises, dreams, all those things for us. I think he delights in us as his children. I think that's his pleasure. He doesn't do it for public relations. He does it because he's wild about you. But there's something that is released every time a person has a fulfilled promise. Every time a person, anybody, an ungodly guy like Cyrus included, anytime anybody steps into divine destiny, they have learned something about God that he called them by name. I feel like some things are about to be released for people in this next year, and God's sole purpose is so that you would know that he's wild about you. He's wild about you, that his love, his passion, his eyes are on you. You are the apple of his eye. You are the one that he is looking at, reaching for, working out circumstances to make sure that you step into the absolute fullness of your destiny and purpose in life. I feel like the one thing he wants to just get across, and it's really consistent with what was shared today in our prayer time, what Candace shared with us. It's about God loving us. And it's knowing it. It's funny. We sing to him, it's all about you. And it's true. It is all about him. But you ought to see his song. He sings, it's all about you. Just pray for the person next to you. I want you to pray, God. We're gonna follow this real prayer that Candace led us in, this to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I want you to pray for the person next to you. Just pray for them, God. Fill them with your love in an unusual, unexpected way. Fulfill dreams, promise. Let this be a year of extraordinary breakthrough. Let life come to them from this word. Crooked places straight. Gates of bronze destroyed. Treasures of darkness released. Hidden wealth of secret places. God is saying, I've got things for you that are in hiding that you will only find at the right time. I've got stuff laid up for you, insights and connections and relationships and partnerships and alliances. I've got things hidden for you, just waiting for the right time for me to lift the veil. Thanks for this, Lord.